Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
And then in terms of Ruggs, Ruggs didn't have an off-season program last year like a lot of these rookies, and he got hurt in the first game against Carolina, and got the coronavirus last year, missed some more time, but he's a big reason why Darren Waller had a big year, because of the threat of Ruggs. And we don't want to just have Ruggs be a threat. We like him to be on the receiving end of a lot of those threats. So we're trying to get him more and more involved in the pass offense, and so far, so good.
That's Raiders head coach John Gruden talking about Henry Ruggs. We spoke to John Gruden yesterday as the Raiders closed up shop on their 2021 offseason program. Minicamp is in the books. Next stop, training camp, which opens July 27th here at the Raiders facility in Henderson, which is where I am broadcasting from today. Some nice things that John Gruden said about Henry Ruggs. By all accounts, Henry Ruggs took his checklist, his to-do list from the Raiders after his rookie year and did his due diligence. I had mentioned earlier this week, I had talked to Derek Carr about Henry Ruggs and about what his impressions were of Henry so far, this year, and I guess we can call it this season. And one thing that Derek said was that if in his eyes, it felt like something clicked with Henry. And he was quick to point out it's not unusual for a young player. The switch that clicked on was having a year under his belt and being able to look at that year and assess that season and take a look at the film and take a look at himself and understanding, okay, this is how it works here in the NFL. This is what I need to do. And what Derek told me was like, look, some guys do it, some guys don't. But it's obvious, and this is Derek talking, it's obvious that Henry Ruggs said, nah, man, I'm going to be one of those guys that do. And it's been impressive. Derek told me he's getting in and out of his routes, his cuts. He's running violently. That's a good thing in the NFL. He's explosive. He's using his speed and that athletic ability. Derek Carr was quick to point out, look, it has to happen on the field. That's going to be the ultimate determination of where Henry Ruggs is. But it sure sounds like it sure sounds like Derek, it sure sounds like John Gruden have seen what they want to see so far from Henry Ruggs. The key to me now is how do the Raiders go about making sure that they tap into Henry at a level that's needed. There's no reason why Henry Ruggs, and I said this, 2 weeks ago? You look at Henry Ruggs' stats from last year. There's no reason he can't double those stats up. None. If he stays healthy, of course. There's no reason. And part of that, obviously, is Henry doing what he needs to do to get open, to be reliable, to be a factor when the ball is in his hands, to create a comfort level with Derek Carr, a confidence level in Derek Carr, to show John Gruden, hey, I'm where I need to be. I'm making the catch. I'm doing something with the ball. I'm being an asset. I'm being somebody that's viable in this offense. So give me the ball more, and once a level of production is established and a level of reliability is established, that's going to make John Gruden more comfortable calling Henry's number. It's going to make Derek Carr more comfortable getting the ball to Henry Ruggs. Let's look at Henry Ruggs' stats from last year. 26 catches, 452 yards, two touchdowns. Loved the 17.4 yards per catch. That came on 43 targets across 12 games. 12 games that, you know, I could remember. I'm thinking back to when, and let's remember. By the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It is another sweltering day here in Las Vegas. Temperatures in that 115, 116 range. It's hot. It's really hot, but it is what it is. Henry Ruggs, 12 games last year, 12 games started, 13 games total. There was that point where he had gotten hurt, suffered a leg injury, and came back. And it took a little while for him to get full throttle again. There were a couple of games where he was just more of a decoy out there. I don't think he was completely 100% healthy. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes you have to play your way back into complete health. But he was good enough to be on the field. He was healthy enough to be on the field. Was he 100% to be unleashed the way an athlete like Henry Ruggs needs to be unleashed? Probably not. It took a little while. So there were some games that went by where he just wasn't getting tapped into. And then I remember a practice that I saw Henry at where he was just moving around so well. And I just thought, hey, this could be the week where, you know, the numbers go up a little bit, the touches go up a little bit, the targets go up a little bit. It did. I forget exactly what week that was, but his numbers took a turn for the better in that game. But there were some other issues, some other health issues, COVID, all of those things kind of conspired a little bit against Henry Ruggs. But when you look at the final numbers, the 26 catches, 452 yards, two touchdowns, again, there's no reason, and that's on 43 targets. There's no reason he shouldn't be targeted 80 times in a 17-game season, straight out. None. And if he gets targeted doubly compared to last year, and I'm just talking right there on, on pass plays, get those targets up to 80, 83, all of a sudden those 26 catches should go to 50 catches, 55 catches. And if that 17.4 stays close to that, you're looking at 900, 1,000 yards maybe, six touchdowns maybe. And let's not even get into the carries. I think he's going to be a factor on fly sweeps and that sort of thing. So he had nine rushes for 49 yards last year. I think nine rushes should be 25 rushes maybe by the time it's all said and done. So see what he could do in that regard by putting the ball in his hands in different ways other than just throwing him the ball. I can see Henry Ruggs taking a huge step forward. And if he does, the Raiders offense, which was really good last year, has a chance to be special because you put Henry Ruggs and that speed and that athletic ability alongside the weapon that Darren Waller is and Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake and Hunter Renfro and John Brown and Willie Snead and Foster Moreau in the way he's going to be and perhaps, Bryan Edwards. This offense has a chance to be versatile. It has a chance to be explosive. It has a chance to put up some big numbers. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider Dave is in Denver and wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Raider Dave?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Vinny. Good to talk to you again. I think you ended up stealing the thunder of what I was going to try to point out there, but I do want to say it in a little bit of a different way, is that you take those numbers that he had and you do double them, and you get to where you're getting to where it's a premier status of receivers, 1,000-yard receivers that are in the NFL. But it gets pretty tough when you have a offensive line that's patchwork, and more than not, all those fumbles that Carr had, he's trying to throw out of a phone booth. So hopefully this year, not only do they do something conceptually to have him slide where his pocket is or where he is in the pocket to one side or another as he gets confidence with these guys, but I just kind of wonder what they're going to do to go ahead and get that other half, second and a half. And Carr is one of the best to throw on the run. I think we've all seen that. So hopefully something conceptual will help that happen. And those intermediate routes with that other second and a half will be open because a lot of times he just couldn't go that far down the field without that kind of pressure on him like that.
Yeah, that definitely plays into it as well. And, you know, I think the Raiders more than doubled their explosive touchdowns, their touchdowns of 20 or more yards, which kind of, remember last year what we were talking about? Will Derek Carr throw the ball long? Is he capable of throwing the long ball long? Is he scared to throw the ball long distances? My argument always was it wasn't about his inability or ability to throw it long. He's got plenty of arm, and he's got plenty of confidence and gumption and risk taking. He'll throw the ball long. My question was always, to who? Who are we talking about throwing the ball long to?
You'd have to be a lot faster than Ruggs to get 40 yards down the field in 2.5 seconds.
Well, and I think that'll get squared away, and it did. You know, there were times last year where, again, they unleashed it. The numbers suggest that he threw the ball further down the field than he had in the past. And yes, definitely, I get your point that, you know, the blocking needs to be better. You need to have the time to be able to do that. But I'm talking about, in general, the uneasiness that some fans had of Derek Carr taking a chance downfield. And my whole argument at the time was, to who? Who? I mean, you have to have somebody on the other end that you have confidence in that's going to be there where he's supposed to be, going to make the catch when the ball is thrown to him. Antonio Brown was supposed to be that guy in 2019. It didn't happen. After he left, what wide receiver was the long ball threat for the Raiders after in 2019? There wasn't any, and there hasn't really been for a little while now, until like last year. Nelson Aguilar did a good job downfield. Obviously, Henry Ruggs, we saw a couple of long touchdown passes to Henry Ruggs. My point is, he wasn't scared to throw it to those two guys. He felt confident in throwing it to those two guys. It's a two-way street, and my whole thing was, you can't expect Derek Carr, just because Charlie up in, you know, the second level is saying Derek Carr's scared to throw the ball downfield, Derek Carr should throw the ball downfield more. Why isn't Derek Carr throwing the ball downfield more? He's not going to justify Charlie up sitting way up there in the nosebleeds to prove it just by, you know, by throwing it, when the possibility is that bad things might happen because he doesn't have confidence in the guys that he's throwing it to. No pointing any fingers at anybody previously, but you have to have a target, a viable target that's going to be able to get open downfield and catch it downfield. And you know what? They did last year. They had more guys that could do it. And I think that that's only going to increase with Henry Ruggs becoming a more viable downfield threat and just weapon, period. But I get your point.
I think that time that he had in the pocket is one thing that facilitated so many more throws to Waller and underneath routes as Ruggs was clearing it out. But I just really hope conceptually they do something with Ruggs like they do at Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. I really hope that Gruden is challenged to try to throw a bunch more like looks and motions and different things for the defense to think about this year. I mean, you haven't heard it just from me, isn't it? From a lot of people in Raider Nation that pay attention. And we all knew what they were going to do on first, second, third down. I mean, it's just way too predictable. So they've got to change the look a little bit, and then these guys can get clear and get open.
Absolutely, 1,000%. And, it'll be interesting to see how this offensive line performs this year, too. Because, you look back last year, we've talked about this quite a bit. You know, the offensive line last year, because of the injuries, because of the Trent Brown not being able to get on the field consistently, Sam Young wasn't able to get through games healthy. There was a lot of dysfunction along the offensive line. Richie Incognito only played two games. That offensive line last year was pretty average, you know, by the end of the season. When you look at the numbers, Pro Football Focus had him, 23rd or 21st ranked run blocking unit. I think they were 17th or 18th in pass blocking unit. That's just okay. It's not great. And, if they can improve that and give Derek Carr a little bit more time, I think that's just going to be able to open things up a little bit more. And really, honestly, such a key to this is being able to run the ball a little bit better. They ran the ball last year. Obviously, running the ball is a staple of John Gruden's offense. He's going to lean on that. But they didn't do it as efficiently last year as, he would have wanted. And I think that's a direct result of some of the dysfunction that was going on the offensive line due to injuries.
You bring up a great point, and that is that when they were able to run the ball successfully with 3.2 to 3.7 yards per carry, it got them in third and guessing type of situations for the defense, and they couldn't pin their ears back, and that let them have the third down efficiency that they did have, so they could have 80 yard drives with 16 plays. Not that you want to do that all day long, because but that's you're able to go ahead and maintain the clock advantage and keep the other offense off the field. And it was a huge part of Gruden's offense and how they were able to manage some of the games and keep some of these high-potent offenses off the field and beat good teams.
Well, that's a whole other issue, and you're right. There were definitely times when part of the game plan was parking the other offense on the on the sideline as much as possible. And that kind of spoke to the level of confidence or lack of confidence that the Raiders had in their defense. I mean, obviously you want to churn out drives, you want to control the ball, control the line of scrimmage, control the clock, all of those type of things. But it was at a drastic level at times for the Raiders last year, because they knew, I mean, think about two late game situations, one against the Kansas City Chiefs, one against the Miami Dolphins, where it wasn't just score and score the touchdown and get the points on the board as quickly as possible. It was both times, what do we do here? John Gruden's thinking to himself, do we score? Do we take some more time off the clock? Do we kick the field goal? Do we take the touchdown? Why? Because he was worried that the defense wasn't going to be able to hold the lead. And in both cases, in either decision that he made, it didn't work out because the defense wasn't ready, able, capable of holding a lead. And so if you don't think that he was coaching with that in the back of his mind all last year, understanding the shortcomings of this defense, and we've talked about this quite a few times, where behind the scenes, the Raiders knew that there were issues and flaws on that defense. And sometimes you just can't get to everything in an off season, or things don't work out the way you hope. And you put some things on the back burner, like, we're going to have to get to that in the offseason. We can't go get Yannick Ngakoue during the season. It's going to cost too much, maybe, in draft picks, whatever the case might be. It's something that you put off till the offseason, and you try to work around as much as possible, including the way you game plan, the way you approach situations. And if this defense can be better, and I think the Raiders believe it will be, that's also going to change sometimes how John Gruden, the chances that he takes, the quick strike nature and how he calls a game. He might just be wanting to go for the throat as much as possible, score as many times as you can, as quickly as you can, because you feel like, I've got a defense that's going to be able to get the ball back to us quickly again, and we're going to go, get another touchdown out of this, because we got a defense that we could count on to get the ball back to us. So it changes things. It's football is great like that. It takes both sides of the ball, and far too often these last couple of years, it was so one-sided, unfortunately, for the Raiders. How many times did Lincoln Kennedy tell us last year, for this team to win games, the offense is going to have to score 30 points a game, every single game? That's hard to do, if not impossible. It's not going to always work out that way. And he kept saying it because he knew there's flaws on this defense. You're going to have to outscore your own defense, the points that your own defense gives up. And they gave up 30 points a game. So getting a more balanced team changes everything for the better. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Gangster Raider is online. How you doing, Gangster Raider?
Hey, what's happening?
Doing good, man.
I'm all right. Hey, I'm calling to let you know I'll be in town next week. I'll be in town next week for a whole week. I get to finally get inside the stadium and do my stadium tour and handle some other business. And I want to know, have you actually been to the practices yet, Vinny?
You're talking about OTAs and minicamp and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, now in person, from the eye test, since you've seen in person, out of the rookies, out of the draft, the newly drafted rookies, who looks like they can contribute, like, right now off the back, and who has the best, chance of contributing and being a major factor this year out of the new rookies that's coming in, the ones that you actually see in practice?
I mean, Alex Leatherwood looked as advertised, no question about it. Again, you know, you have to see it when...
Yeah, I know, it's shorts and all that, yeah. I'm
just
saying by... Yeah,
I think that I can't wait to see Trayvon Morrig with the pads on, Tyree Gillespie with the pads on in games. But both players look like they belong for sure. I mean, I can only go on what you know Gus Bradley has said, what some of the veteran players have said. But a lot of people are talking up Nate Hobbs, the cornerback from Illinois. But I think in terms of guys that are going to get on the field, stay on the field, be starters. And be assets. I think you're talking about Alex Leatherwood and most likely Trayvon Morrig. And I think Trayvon's going to.
That's him, the two I was thinking about, too. And also, have you heard my idea about, you know, the violator not having season tickets? Have you heard my idea about that end zone club, about making that the whole violator club where he can be there at every game and whoever else wants to party with him? Like, whoever, who's the sponsor for that end zone club thing? Do you know?
Who's responsible for it? I'm not sure.
So, who's the sponsor? Like, I know they have like a sponsor, like MGM or Bud Light. You know,
I know there is. It might be one of the hotels, but I don't want to give you bad information. At the break, I will look it up. I know that there is a main sponsor. It's got a special name and all that, I believe. So, if Devon has a second or two to Google it, we'll find out. But yeah, that's. Yeah, we're gonna take a look at it right after or during the break. But yeah, that's gonna be pretty cool. I might have to go down there from time to time just to check it out, you know, for journalistic purposes.
Think about making it Violator's whole little section, make it Club Violator, and then you know he instead of you know because he don't have season tickets, which I think is a sham because he's a Hall of Fame, you know, Raider fan. He should have lifelong season tickets. So the sponsor should make that the Violator Club Zone, and everybody who wants to come and watch the game and party with Violator can sit there. What you think about that?
Well, I don't think it's going to go down that road. You know, I hope Violator gets to some games. I don't know that whole story. And, you know, I know he's one of the great fans for the Raiders, no doubt about it. But I'll definitely look into it, and I'll definitely find out if there is an official name for it, just yet. Thanks a lot for the call, Gangster Raider. Really appreciate it. Always do. Enjoy your time in Las Vegas. It's going to be hot. It's not as hot as it won't be hot as hot next week as it is this week, but it's going to be toasty. So hopefully you get some pool time while you're out here. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
Yeah, we've got a competition there. You mentioned some of the guys. John Brown's a good player. You know, a couple of years ago, he had over 1,000 yards. He has great speed. He's learning three positions right now, much like Nelly did last year at this time. I think he's going to give us some pop. He can really run, get out of routes, and he can run a wide array of patterns. The other guys you mentioned, you know, Willie Snead has come in here. He's a real pro. Strong hands, very precise route runner, tough as hell. And he's going to compete with Renfro in the slot. Dylan Stoner's done well. This DJ Turner, the punt returner from Pitt, very interesting. He's quick, he's smart, and... Zay Jones came back ready to go, and our two picks from last year, the guys that I've really been focusing on. Edwards looks good, and Ruggs looks much better than he did this time last year.
That's Raiders head coach John Gruden talking about his wide receiver room. You know, whatever level of high school, sports in general that I've covered, it's so funny. Coaches are all the same. Trust me when I say that. I mean, obviously, you know, the level of competence and excellence and all that can change from some levels to the other. But the love that they have about talking about their players, like I can, as I was listening to John Gruden talk about that yesterday on the Zoom meeting, every call that I've ever had with a high school coach, a JC coach, hey, tell me about your wide receivers. And but name after name after name, you know, they give you the rundown. And that's how much, they love their guys, their players, you know, what they know about them and how they're trying to promote them and stuff. It's really no different. And I love that about every level of sports that I've ever covered. It doesn't change from one level to the next. It really is pretty cool. By the way, real quick, I just want to tell you guys about a great event that's going on at Father's Day over at Casa Amigos here in Las Vegas. It's Latin Night Father's Day. Live music from 10 p.m. to 12 or to 2 a.m. It's sponsored by our great friends over at Embajador Tequila. So there's great food. There's going to be great music. Obviously, Embajador Tequila. This Sunday, Latin Night Father's Day. Live music, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., Casa Amigos here in Las Vegas. So if you want to take your dad out for a good night, and that's a place to be. So I'll talk about it a little bit more this week, today and tomorrow, but go check it out if you can. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in our good friend, Mike Pritchard, our teammate. From the Pritch & Clay show early in the morning, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Here on Raider Nation Radio. Mike, first of all, thanks for spending some time with us in the huddle. Truly appreciate it. When you heard John Gruden there talking about the wide receivers, what was going through your mind? I mean, I think there's some depth there this year. I know they lost Nelson Aguilar, but with some of the younger players stepping up, some of the newcomers like Willie Snead, who I think he really, really likes Willie Snead, and John Brown, who brings an element, to that room. What do you think about the Raiders wide receiver room right now?
It was great to be with you, Vinny. I think what stood out to me is Coach Gruden used to be a wide receivers coach. I mean, that's when he kind of broke into the league. And when he talks about these guys, man, he knows how special they are. When you're working in Green Bay with the likes of Sterling Sharps and guys like that, and then, you know, you work with the Jerry Rices and the Tim Browns, I mean, that's a prideful comment right there from Coach Gruden, and he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he wants what he's looking for. And so to have competition in that group, in that room, the playmakers, that excites a play caller. That excites a guy like Coach Gruden. So I thought he was reserved, but yet excited about what could happen this year in 2021 with that group of guys.
I agree, and it's really an intriguing group. And by the way, we're talking to Mike Pritchard. He is the co-host of the Pritch & Clay show, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on Raider Nation Radio, and you can follow him at M. Pritchard on Twitter. It's M.I. Pritchard. Is it M.I. Pritchard or M. Pritchard?
M.I. Pritchard. Somebody took the M. Pritchard from me before I could get down on it on Twitter.
I just want to make sure there wasn't a typo in there. I want to make sure everyone gets to visit you on Twitter. Mike, it's intriguing to me because Henry Rugg is an intriguing prospect. He was drafted 12th overall last year. He's got speed to burn. He looks like a football player. He never looked to me like a fast guy that plays football. He's a football player that is fast. And I think that we have yet to see Henry Ruggs just full throttle, unleashed. But I think there's a possibility that that's going to happen this year. And from your perspective, playing that position, the time that Henry has put in, everything that we're hearing, even talking to Derek Carr, as I did a couple of days ago, his impressions of where Henry is right now, and it's really high in Derek's eyes. What can we expect, or what is realistic? I'm thinking that he can double up 26 catches. I'm thinking he could double up 400 and some odd yards. I think he could get to 50 catches, 900 to 1,000 yards, 6-7 touchdowns as a receiver if those targets go up from the 43 that he had last year to 75, 80 or so. Is that realistic? Am I barking up the right tree here?
That is very realistic. I'd be shocked if he doesn't double up those. We all know that Darren Waller is the number one eligible on offense. I mean, I don't know if the offense is going to run through Darren Waller, but they're going to certainly feature him. But they're also going to feature a lot of different packages, whether it's multiple tight ends or multiple running backs. You know, you got Drake and Jacobs who could be on the field at the same time. But either way, the flanker position is a featured position. And it takes a special player to play the flanker. If that's going to be Ruggs,
then he needs to assert himself in a special way. And that's what I've been looking for. I've been looking for that essence of a guy that wants to assert himself and just display to the coaches that, one, I'm a playmaker, two, I want you guys to feature me if you can, and then, three, I'm going to be dependable for my quarterback. And we saw that from Nelson Aguilar last year in terms of establishing himself as that kind of playmaker and a consistent one. So if Henry Ruggs III does establish himself that way through training camp or even the offseason so far, then the sky is the limit for this guy. The ability, there's no question he has it. It's just he has to display it and assert himself in that fashion in order to get those targets that you mentioned.
Okay, if you're Derek Carr and if you're John Gruden, and let's be honest, those are the two most important people in terms of the touches that Henry Ruggs is going to get. That's it. There's no other two more. There aren't two more important people than those two, which is why it's good for Henry Ruggs that Derek said what he said about him, what John is seeing from Henry, because it plants that seed. All right, having said that, if you're Henry Ruggs, how do you go about building that trust? In what way? How does that happen? Is it, you know, when you do get your touches, whether it's in training camp or the preseason, by being a dominant player with the ball in your hands? Is it that? Is it being where you need to be on the route tree? What is it that's gonna you know, create that confidence, not in Henry's mind, but in Derek's mind and in John's mind?
Well, that's a great question. In reality, it starts in practice. Whether you're doing individual drills, you always try to line up with the quarterback. Like, for instance, for me, whether it was Warren Moon or John Elway, right?
Talk about Warren a name Moon, dropper. Jeez, Mike.
Well, those were my quarterbacks. I mean, I could throw out Chris Miller, but I'd go with the other two, right? And so it was part of, or whether it was John Kitna even after right. Warren Moon. I mean, it was a situation where, okay, I'm a starter. I need to align myself with the quarterback. And so individual drills, routes on air. I'm catching balls from my quarterback. When we get into one-on-one, full speed against defensive backs. Okay, my quarterback, what do you want me to run? What do you need me to see? Or vice versa. Hey, I'm going to work on this. Let's do this route. And then throughout practice, you know, certainly the script, you follow that. You want to make sure that you're busting your rear end and practicing hard and developing that chemistry. Because those guys, those quarterbacks, they want to see you run full speed. They want to time up things. They want to know if, for instance, if I need to take a quicker drop or if I need to slow down my drop to give you a little bit more time to get open, that kind of thing. So you can only do that in practice. And then after practice. After practice, Vinny, those guys are still working on targets. They're working on developing accuracy and stuff like that. And, okay, I'm here. What do you need me to do? You need me to run a go route? What do you need me? You need me to stand here for you? But not only that, it goes off the field, too. You know, going out to dinner, talking to each other on the phone. You know, what's going on with you? You know, just developing that relationship and that trust in which, okay, on the field, that's my guy. When you have a quarterback tell you, that's my guy, oh, man, the sky's the limit. Like I said, the ball's going to come your way. He's going to lobby to throw the ball to you when he's meeting with Coach Gruden and all the offensive coaches. Hey, we got to get Ruggs III, the ball more. So all that comes into play once you establish that relationship that way on and off the field.
Mike, at what point in your career – and, you know, you're a first-round pick. You were highly regarded coming out of college to the NFL. But there's still that transition that you make where you're kind of feeling your way and your voice is growing. But early on, that voice might be more of a whisper than a roar. At what point, you know, and I look at Henry Ruggs, and he seems to be a very humble, kind of a quiet guy. At what point is it acceptable for him to be able to be maybe voicing his opinion, whether it's in the huddle, like, yo, man, I'm open. You know, hey, man, look my way. Because we know those conversations happen during the course of a game. I don't know if they did last year. And sometimes as a rookie, you're trying to, like, just, hey, I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to do what I'm told. But at what point does it become kind of acceptable maybe for Henry Ruggs to, you know, be a little bit more voiceful in terms of, I'm open. Get me the ball.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, Vinny? In the huddle, it's the quarterback. I mean, everybody. Those big uglies up front, 350-pound linemen, they're quiet because the quarterback's in the huddle. That's a quarterback's domain, right? On the sideline, though, on the sideline is where you really want to communicate with the quarterback and give him information on plays in which, hey, if I look your way, are you going to be open? And so just giving that quarterback that assurance, because we all see it, right? The quarterback looking at the film or the quarterback now looking at tablets and they're scrolling through just to see those looks. And so they're formulating their thoughts just in case they see that look again on a certain play or a certain formation. And so you go up to the quarterback and say, or if they come up to you and they say, hey, can you get open on this route? Yeah, I gotcha. You know, and then when you do get open on that route, then that's when that magic starts to happen too. You don't have to be a diva about it. Like, you don't have to scream and shout and yell and, hey, I'm open. It's just that effective communication either on the sideline, you know, in the locker room at halftime, or if a coach comes up to you or if they call you on the phone, yeah, I got that. You can depend on me. And then when you do it, then it just grows from there. So Ruggs is more than capable of doing that. He seems like he's one of those quiet, unassuming type of guys. But I think his play, and if they ask him for that type of communication, Benny, he'll be able to provide that.
We're talking to Mike Pritchard. He is the co-host of Pritch and Clay here on Raider Nation Radio, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can follow him at MIPritchard on Twitter. Mike, how important, and let's preface this by saying the Raiders scored the 10th most points in the NFL last year. So mm-hmm. Scoring points was one of their strengths. And they were able to do it by, you know, basically running the offense in a lot of ways through Darren Waller, one of the great weapons in the NFL. And it's worked. It's been good. But there's ways for this offense to improve. And the two areas that I see where it can really improve is running the ball more efficiently, but also finding another, just one more way. I know Nelson Aguilar was a nice weapon for the Raiders last year, but I don't know if he was a dynamic, you know, type of guy that just is the perfect offshoot to a Darren Waller. I really believe the Raiders need to find that from that wide receiver group. But in your eyes, how important is that so that, you know, Waller has kind of a co-star among the receiving groups that's not him at tight end, but as a wide receiver, whether it's downfield, whether it's a guy that you could get the ball and he could do things, you know, once the ball is in his hands? Is it important for the Raiders to find something like that from their wide receiver group?
Yeah, not only important, but vital, Vinny, because we know the Raiders are going to run the ball and they're going to do it well. But sometimes it does get difficult. You know, trying to move 300-pound men against your will, that gets difficult at times. But where the Raiders can be explosive and a problem for defenses is formations, you know, creating matchups. Once Henry Ruggs III establishes himself as a matchup that Coach Gruden wants to exploit, create, and then utilize, this offense gets even better. I think he feels like he can have that with Brown. I believe he feels like he can have that and create those with Hunter Renfrow and Snead. And then certainly Waller, you know, the multiple tight end formations. He's going to have one-on-one situations, and that's a mismatch, right? So it's just getting the younger players, like Ruggs III, to be that dependable mismatch. In the months of November and December in particular, when teams focus in on what you do and they try to take away things, but yet they can't stop you because they can't cover you. And so that's where this offense needs to go. And they're not that far from doing that, to be honest with you. I think they have the quarterback to do that more than capable. D'Carr sees the field so well. It's just getting these guys to understand, hey, look, we need you to get open. They know it's coming, but can you get open? And if you do, we're going to all benefit from that.
Well, we are going to see. I'm fascinated by it. I can't wait. And it's going to be. I really believe that the preseason is so important. It's not usually, but I think it is this year for a bunch of young players on this Raiders team, offensively and defensively, Henry Ruggs among them. So it's almost here. It's kind of just right around the corner, and it'll fly by. So really looking forward to that and seeing that unfold on the field. Mike, thanks so much, as usual, for spending some time with us in the huddle. It's always a pleasure, and I always enjoy the insight and enlightenment. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you down the road, my brother.
Absolutely, Vinny. My pleasure, man, and anytime. It sounds great.
Thank you very much. That's Mike Pritchard. He is the co-host of the Pritch and Clay Show, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on Raider Nation Radio, always bringing great insight and, like I said, enlightenment. I always like to learn, and somebody like Mike is somebody that teaches when he comes on here and talks, so truly appreciate that. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Thursday. Want to mention it one more time. Gustavo, he runs the restaurant that we were talking about, Casa Amigos, here in Las Vegas. They're going to have Latin nights on Father's Day from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. And Gus is a great guy. The restaurant is at 3740 East Flamingo Road, Las Vegas. It's a Father's Day special with Embajador Tequila, Casa Amigos. So if you get a chance, you know, us dads, we like to get out and about and be, hey, you know, sometimes pampered a little bit. It doesn't take a whole lot, but we always appreciate it. So if you're looking for something to do for dad, or just even, you know, yourself, if you want to get out and listen to some great music, have some great food, have some great drinks with the Bajador or Tequila, Casa Amigos, 3740 East Flamingo Road, Las Vegas, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Father's Day. So go check that out for sure. It was great talking to Mike, specifically about the wide receiver position. He was one of the better wide receivers, a top pick, a number one pick. I loved how he mentioned his quarterbacks, Warren Moon and John Elway. I was kidding him about name dropping, but can you imagine playing for those two guys? Those are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Loved watching Warren Moon. Loved watching John Elway. A couple of Southern California quarterbacks. Warren Moon went to Hamilton High School in the heart of L.A., one of the great schools in Los Angeles, before going to the University of Washington. John Elway doesn't get more Southern California than he or Warren. John Elway went to Granada Hills High School in the San Fernando Valley, and then obviously went to Stanford, and then did his thing, and both players are now in the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. So, but listening to Mike Pritchard talk about Henry Ruggs, and I think he's a very intriguing part of the 2021 season, because his ability to take that big step forward, and Mike talked about creating confidence, showing Derek Carr, showing John Elway, hey, you put the ball in my hands, good things are going to happen. So get the ball in my hands. And it's a two-way street, obviously. That trust level, that confidence level has to be built, part of it from Henry Ruggs doing things when he gets the ball in his hands, being in the right place at the right time. You understand that this is so technical, what we're talking about in terms of running proper routes, understanding where he needs to be, understanding, hey, that's the coverage look, this is the down, this is what I need to do. We've talked about it a million times. We've gone over it on film. I need to, or Derek needs to know that he knows what to do in that situation. And the more he does it, and is where he needs to be, and it doesn't always work out, and there always is going to be some miscommunication from time to time, but you need to mitigate that and manage that. And the more he can be trustworthy, reading the coverage, understanding what he needs to do from the route perspective, being where he needs to be with that route, running that route correctly, coming down with the ball, doing something with the ball when the ball is in his hands. All of those things are what Mike Pritchard was talking about in terms of building camaraderie, building a level of trust with the quarterback, Derek Carr, because ultimately he's going to be the guy that throws the ball, right? And above him is John Gruden, who's calling the plays. And the more Henry is able to show how trustworthy he can be, how effective he can be, how productive he can be, especially with the ball in his hands, the more confidence Derek Carr is going to have in him to look his way, to maybe audible out of a play to get Henry the matchup that looks good right there. And the more, obviously, confidence that John Gruden is going to have in calling his number. And so when you look at 43 targets in the pass game, his rookie year, across 12 starts, 13 games total, that needs to get to 80-ish. If you can get Henry Ruggs 80-ish targets in the pass game and take the 9 rushes that he had to about 20, 25, the sky's the limit for Henry Ruggs. Now, again, he's got to do his part. And if he does, there's no reason Derek Carr is not going to want to dip into that well over and over and over again, along with John Gruden, and have that playoff Darren Waller and Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs. Wow. This offense has a chance to do some special things. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.